Let's pray as we're standing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful reality of the good news that you have made known in your Son. And we thank you for the clear and faithful record of it that we have in the Bible. We pray that by your Spirit, you would help us to understand your word and that we would be equipped to serve you. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. Now, it's not uncommon to hear comments in the media which suggest that Christianity is in terminal decline. As one article I saw recently has put it, Christianity looks to be going the same way as the yellow pages or travel maps. In other words, becoming obsolete as technology takes over. Well, when you hear a more balanced analysis, it may be true that many churches in Northern Europe are facing challenges of falling church attendance. Internationally, this is not the case. Think of the continent of Africa. According to a journal article published last month, in 1900, there were fewer than 9 million Christians in Africa. Now, it's said that there are more than 541 million. In the last 15 years alone, churches in Africa have seen a 51% increase, with thousands becoming Christians every day. Now, these figures don't mention what is going on in parts of Asia, South America and China, where there is also rapid growth in the spread of the gospel. The good news of Jesus is going out. The gospel is being heard, and it is bringing change. Now, how this happens and what is involved and how that informs us here in North Ferriby is made clear as we look at our New Testament reading in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And if you want to have that open in front of you, it's page 1187. Now, we began last week looking at 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul's first letter to this new diverse church in one of the Greco-Roman world's most strategic port cities. The Apostle Paul and his team, including Silas and Timothy, within just a few years of Jesus' resurrection, had been travelling the region sharing the good news, clearly proclaiming the truth of Jesus, who died for sins and rose again, and giving reasons for believing based on the Old Testament scriptures. Now, though somewhat unsympathetic, even antagonistic, others who heard were persuaded by the gospel, and they joined Paul and his team and formed a new church gathering. And we saw last week how the gospel had had a clear effect. And Paul thanks God that these people were now those showing evidence of God's grace. In particular, he thanks God for their faith in Jesus working out productively. He is thankful that they were giving to each other in a labour of love. And he praises God that they were marked by a new hope, which was giving them strength to endure through difficult circumstances. Well, as we read on in chapter 1, we find more evidence of God's grace in them. That verse 4, they are loved by God and that he has chosen them. And a pattern emerges, a pattern that makes clear how the gospel spreads. So we see, first of all, that the good news is shared. Now, the main way that we all communicate is, of course, using words, whether that's in speech or writing or through the internet or broadcasting or whatever. It's no surprise then that the Christian message about Jesus is one which involves words. Indeed, we saw when we looked at how the gospel message started the Thessalonian church in the book of Acts that sharing the gospel involves proclamation and explanation and reasoning and proving, all with words. And yet, when we're talking about sharing the Christian message, when we're considering communicating the good news about Jesus, we find that it is far more than merely a verbal message. Verse 4. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word. See, Paul sees the members of the Thessalonian church as evidence that the gospel is more than just a verbal argument, more than a vocal view or a written theory. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you because, verse 5, our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You see, when the message of the gospel word, made up of words, is made known, God's Holy Spirit is at work. The Holy Spirit helps the Christian messenger to explain the message. The Holy Spirit brings to the messenger a deep knowledge that the message is really true. And the Holy Spirit opens the hearts and minds of those who had not before believed in Jesus in order that they might receive the message and that it might bring change and positive transformation. Now tomorrow, as we've been saying, is our day of prayer. What a vital thing to be praying, that as we seek to share the good news with those around us, as we plan events and groups where the good news is made known, that we call out to God, that by his Holy Spirit, he would do what only he can do. That he would give grace to all of us who share the message with clarity in our presentation. And that he would give conviction about its truth. And that his power would make it real and give to those who hear it grace that they might see it, see that it is true and receive it. Well, that reminds us that though the good news needs to be shared, it also, secondly, needs to be received. We saw when we looked at how the Thessalonian church began in Acts 17 that when the gospel was proclaimed, there was considerable opposition. Some did not like it, and it caused trouble for the early Christian communicators. As Paul speaks to the new church members, he says, verse 5, you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. So you see, despite all the trouble, despite all the opposition, despite all that was going on in their lives, some still heard and believed. And the Holy Spirit enabled them to believe. And the Holy Spirit gave them joy in appreciating the extent of God's love and grace in Jesus that had come to them. As the gospel was made known, some received it and were changed. So they became, verse 7, an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. See, these people brought up as religious Old Testament believers or others as idol-worshipping pagans imitated those that they heard the gospel from and they received the gospel word. And then themselves became worthy of imitation as examples to others in the wider region. Now, what this change involved is beautifully illustrated in verse 9, a verse which in many ways is one of the key verses of the whole letter. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. See, these people in Thessalonica were transformed from being largely idol worshippers to those who instead served the true God whilst waiting for Jesus to come back and fulfill his plan. And that's why we've called this series of sermons Serving Whilst Waiting. Now, we're told that they turned to God from idols. Like all human beings left to ourselves, the Thessalonians had been caught up in false gods. Now, some of those in their case were the pagan deities of the Greco-Roman world. And many of us have seen in actual, on visits or on the television, statues and models and idols that were actually created, that were worshipped. But more generally, human beings so often are taken up with created things rather than the Creator who made them. So that can be people or practices or ideas that are not God and are unable to provide for human beings. But these folks in Thessalonica had turned from idols and instead turned to God. God who is called the living God, in contrast to their dead idols. And God who is the true God, rather than their former false gods. Now this change in orientation transformed their lives. Now, instead of being in spiritual slavery to false gods, they came to the freedom that we heard Jesus speaking about of serving the true God. They now lived for Him. And what they did in life for others and for God was done as worship to Him. And this new life of serving the true God had a fresh and motivating perspective. It meant serving God whilst they wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Jesus is God, the eternal Son, who became the Son of the true and living God on earth. And through His death, Jesus delivers from the wrath to come. Now, wrath is not a word that we hear spoken of very often. It's incredibly unpopular. And yet the Bible speaks very clearly about it, because God is rightly angry at human beings turning away from Him who made us. God is just. Now, when Jesus returns, as we say and as we already said this morning in the Creed, in order to judge the living and the dead, God will be justly ready to bring judgment on those who refuse His mercy. But to those who turn to Him, knowing that they're unworthy, but knowing that in Jesus they can find refuge, well then Jesus' death rescues us from the penalty that we fairly deserve, God's holy wrath. And that deliverance is possible because God, in His Son Jesus, bore it for others that they need not. As we sometimes sing, "For on that cross, when Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied." You see, when Jesus returns, He will be both judge and deliverer. With believers in Jesus being finally and fully rescued from the wrath that will come. For that wrath, that judgment will be when Jesus returns. Now, this reality of deliverance from wrath, of full and free forgiveness because Jesus has paid the price, is underlined by the great fact of history that the returning Son from heaven, who died to avert God's wrath for His people, was raised from the dead. Now, I was away last Monday and Tuesday at a 24-hour conference in Leeds for members of Bible-believing Anglican churches around the country. About 500 of us gathered at Renew, and we were there to encourage each other in pioneering, establishing, and securing healthy local Anglican churches. Now, aware of the movement away from the gospel in some in the wider Church of England, it was great to share in a developing movement seeking to proactively work together to take this gospel of Jesus that we hear about in 1 Thessalonians and see new churches begin and existing churches strengthened and built up so that the gospel can go out through them. It was very exciting to hear that despite the discouraging, sometimes unhelpful leadership in some parts of the Church of England, the good news is changing people through long-standing parish churches like that in the needy community of Toxteth in Liverpool, and through new churches in places like Scarborough, where our former parish assistant Rob Turley is now serving as an assistant minister. You see, the good news is shared, and the good news needs to be received. But finally, the good news is passed on. You see, such a powerful and transforming message as the message of Jesus, God's Son, who came into the world from heaven, who died, rose again, and will return to deliver his people from judgment and bring full life. Such a message has to be shared. Now, the Apostle Paul says that having had the message shared with them and having received it, this is just what the Thessalonians did. So, verse 8. For not only has the word of the Lord resounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you. The gospel, the word or message of the Lord Jesus had spread from the Thessalonians to others. Now, I was surprised when I came to Ferriby to be told that we here at All Saints are responsible for one of the oldest musical instruments in the East Riding. The 350-kilogram number 5 bell in the tower was apparently cast in the 14th century, making it over 600 years old. But its A note is still heard every day, all around, when it chimes. Well, that's the kind of picture that Paul uses here. Through the Thessalonians' witness, the good news of Jesus, he says, sounded forth. Literally, it echoed like a bell. What had happened to them had been heard. Their faith had gone forth to others. Now, this must have happened in different ways, not least that people had noticed the difference that Jesus was making to them. And what's more, the gospel message was being shared informally by church members, that others were discovering it too. Now, this is a good reminder that we all have a part to play in the good news of Jesus sounding forth like a bell from us here at All Saints North Ferriby. So as we pray in the day of prayer and as we look ahead to the autumn and the run-up to Christmas, how important that we ask God to enable us all to be effective witnesses to Jesus, formally as the message is proclaimed, and informally through our lives, through the example of our life together, and through the conversations and words that we share with others. Well, the media view of Christianity may be one of decline, and yet around the world and in our own country, the good news of Jesus is going out. The gospel is being heard, and it is bringing change. And this is happening as it did in first century Thessalonica, as the good news is shared, as the good news is received, and as the good news is passed on. The word of the Lord sounded forth from you. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have sent your Son from heaven into the world in order to die that we might be spared judgment, in order to be raised from the dead, and one day to return to fulfill your plan. We pray that you'd give us grace to serve you whilst we wait for that fulfillment. And we pray especially that you'd give us grace as your people here to be those who make known your good news in every way we can. Father, we pray that by your Spirit, you would be opening up hearts and minds, that more and more would see who Jesus really is and what he means for them. And we ask for his sake. Amen.